And welcome to our spring and summer weather outlook special. Hello, I am Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki, along with Gary Lezak and Daryl Richardson will be joining us here shortly. For those of you watching online, appreciate you joining in with us. Here's the face behind the radio. This is why I work on radio. I've got that face for radio. Well, what we're going to do today, we're going to be covering our outlook, what we're expecting here for spring and summer, and how this may affect our area and our agriculture here in the Dakotas. So we ask our viewers, if you're listening or watching us, send in your questions. You can either email them to us at weather@flagfamily.com or, again, just shoot us a message on our live stream via our Facebook at WDAY Facebook page. So, welcome, guys. Daryl, welcome.
It's good to be here.
Good to have you here. And Gary, welcome as well. Thank you for joining us today.
Good late morning. Glad to be here and to listen and learn with all of you and maybe teach something too.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, let's start with Daryl. Daryl, many people know who you are up here in the Dakotas, but for those that are watching or listening, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh, I spent about a quarter of a century in television, about 30-plus years now in radio. I'm currently the director of the North Dakota Agricultural Weather Network, which most people just refer to as NDON. Mm-hmm. We're one of the largest mesonets, and a mesonet's just really a conglomeration of weather stations that are nearly identical to each other, so we always measure apple to apples that way in the United States and actually in the country. NDON, we have 161 current stations. We have a couple more be coming online yet this month.
That's awesome. And how long have you been up in the Northern Plains here?
I been 25 years as of April 1st.
Awesome.
Actually, I started at WDAY, which is now the radio component here, of course, 25 years ago in the television element. And then by odd coincidence, I started my job at NDON also on April 1st, 7 years ago. So on April 1st is always a double anniversary for me,
right?
Here in Fargo, Moorhead.
Happy
for two
anniversary.
Jobs. Yeah, I always think it's odd starting a new job on April Fool's Day.
Right.
I don't know who was the fool in that,
right.
the hirer or the hiree. I'm not sure.
Awesome. And Gary, is chief meteorologist in Kansas City. Gary, I've known Gary for numerous years, one of the top meteorologists in the country, hands down. Gary, tell us a little bit about yourself for our viewers and listeners that have never heard of you before.
Well, thank you so much. Great to have me. I appreciate you having me on today to talk about the weather and my theory that I developed over the last 30 plus years. But I'm the chief meteorologist at the NBC affiliate here in Kansas City. I've been on this TV station for 22 years. I was at another TV station beginning in 1992 here in Kansas City. So almost 30 years in Kansas City. Started in Oklahoma City after I graduated from the University of Oklahoma in 1985. Got a break. Started in my television career a long time ago, about 35, 36 years ago. And so along the way, when I was at the University of Oklahoma, I sort of discovered the cycling weather pattern theory that I'll share with you guys today. And early mid-80s is when I saw it. And so I have a site. It's called weather2020.com. You can go to that brand new site, just launched a couple days ago. So go check that out. We have a technology blog on there, a weather blog on there you can read and learn a little bit more about this technology. But I love weather. I'm fascinated by weather. I would normally be jealous of you guys up in North Dakota because you get a lot more snow, but I know this winter's been a struggle. I mean, I don't know how much snow you've had, but I know you've been in a drier part of the pattern.
We have.
And so, but here, it's been a struggle too. Just north of Kansas City, there's been 50 inches of snow in Des Moines, Omaha, Nebraska. But here in Kansas City, we had 12 whole inches of snow the whole winter.
Man. Now, you developed what is called the LRC. Tell us a little bit about, I know you just briefly touched on it, when you kind of discovered that when you were in Oklahoma. Tell us a little bit more about the LRC. How does it work?
LRC, Dean, when did you first learn about it? Tell me about that real quick.
You know, that's a good question. It was at one of the AMS conferences that I was at, and somebody had said something about, hey, have you ever heard of the LRC? I said, no, what's it all about? And I'm sure you know Tom Skilling in Chicago. So yeah. I interned with Tom, and he kind of, same thing as you. He, when I interned there, and this is back in the early 90s, he kind of said the same thing. You know, there's some kind of pattern that sets up late fall, and it kind of cycles through the winter and into the spring and summer months. But he couldn't quite put his finger on it. But so, I mean, that's I kind of got a taste of it there, but I heard about your theory through when I was at one of the AMS conferences.
Right. And so yeah, for about 35 years ago, I noticed that the patterns were cycling. There was a major snowstorm in Oklahoma City when I was down there starting my career, about a 1 foot snowstorm. Remember, Oklahoma City averages 8 inches of snow for an entire winter. So if they get a foot of snow, that is a ridiculous amount. About 40, 50 days later, they had another 1 foot snowstorm in that same season. And it's about then that I noticed, wait a second, the pattern that produced that snowstorm looks awfully similar to the pattern that produced the snowstorm, you know, 45 or so days earlier, 50 days earlier. And it was about then that I noticed that the patterns were really cycling. And it's taken 30, 35 years to bring this technology to the market. I've been trying to give it away and share it with everyone and explain it. And I got a business now based off it. I think it's going to end up helping businesses and agriculture interests for you farmers out there. It goes down to the zip code and the county where we can make these predictions 100 days and 200 days and 300 days into the future because the pattern is cycling. The LRC is the centerpiece of this huge atmospheric puzzle, and it's not chaos, it's order to the chaos, and the pattern is cycling regularly. For example, this year's cycle is about 45 to 46 days. Right now you're having some snow, it's cold up there. What happened 45, 46 days ago, February 28th? It was 2 degrees, it was 0 degrees in North Dakota. You didn't get a lot of snow, but you were very cold. The pattern is cycling regularly. There's a predictability to it, and the pattern sets up every year in October and November and then continues to cycle through the winter, spring, summer, and this pattern that we are in now will continue through September, and then a brand new unique pattern that's never happened before will set up next fall, and then a new cycle length will develop, a new pattern will develop, and then by December or January, we can predict all the way to the next September. So here we are in April, and we have a really good grasp on what's going to happen. And North Dakota is global. So same thing for India, Great Britain, all the United States, anywhere in the Northern Hemisphere, the pattern is cycling regularly. And that's what the LRC is all about, Dean.
Gotcha. Thanks, Gary. And well, as you know, it's been really dry up here in both in North and South Dakota, especially the central and western part of the state. And I'm going to throw this to Daryl here. Daryl, how dry has it been? I went back and looked at just in September, and this doesn't sound like a lot, but it is. We're about 4 inches below normal in terms of precip. Is that correct? Roughly?
Well, it depends on the location.
Just for Fargo. I mean, out west, it's even worse than that.
Well, you know, I always remind people of the fact that, you know, we don't get any precipitation in the winter time. You know, our average November through March precipitation in most areas in North Dakota is the same as our averages in June. You know, so winter dry is a completely different animal than summer dry.
Right.
I'm always one that droughts don't end or begin in winter because it's our dry season. And that's a local comment, not a worldwide
sure.
comment, you know, when I say that. So, you know, in that sense, it also, our current mean, you know, we've been in this wet phase of our overall climate cycles through time in the last 20, 25 years. So our current average is on the high side of probably, you know, where we end up at about approximately once every century or century and a half over the last 4,000 or 5,000 years of proxy data. So, you know, that average is skewed a little bit. So some ways, you know, the dryness is perceptional based on what you've experienced more than likely lately. You know, snowfall wise, everyone thinks this has been a, you know, pretty snow free winter. But our long term median is only 39 inches. We've had about 29 inches this winter with what we had now, you know, and from a statistical basis, that's really not that unusual, you know. And so Fargo, we're still ranked in the, you know, 15th, 20th, generally speaking, in the last 4 or 5 months. So we haven't been as dry locally as west of here.
Right.
West of here, I know NCEI put out that they had the last 6 months in North Dakota as the driest on record, but I can only find two sites in the state that have been the driest in the last 6 months. You know, I personally would put it more in the fifth or sixth place limit.
Still dry.
Again, yeah. No doubt, you know, really dry. But, you know, as so many things when you're dealing with climate, it's really how you're, you know, I just always like to be honest with people. It's really in many ways how you play with the statistics.
Right. Now, out west, as you said, we're not as in desperate need of precip here in the Red River Valley, but out west, how much rain do we need out in western part of the state, both North and South Dakota, to, if you want to catch up?
Well, again, it comes down to the fact that it's the same thing out west as it is here. Their average is so low. I mean, this month, for instance, they averaged 2/3 of an inch in western North Dakota. It depends, again, on the location. It could be, you know, 0.8 of an inch, but generally between about 0.6 and 0.8. And that's for the month of April. But if you go back in time, yeah, they've been about 30-40% of normal, but they've only really averaged 3 inches over the course of the last 4 to 4.5 months total. Therefore, in turn, as we all know, one good deformation zone, you know, the wraparound back end of a snowstorm or a rainstorm, they would get all the precipitation. Look what happened in the southern Red River Valley
right.
and west central Minnesota last week. That's happened in western North Dakota multiple times mm-hmm. in the past. And that, you know, and again, some people have accused me of downplaying the dryness. And I'm going, hey, I've been forecasting my first 2021 summer forecast for North Dakota. I did on October 3rd of last year. And I had mentioned, I think 2021 is going to be a dry year. So if I wanted to play the game, I could hype up, well, look how great and wonderful of a forecast I've been making. But I still, at the same time, always want to give the facts out there is that that last period of 4 or 5 months is a very dry period normally. And so in many ways, you're still only one precipitation event potentially out there to do what you just said, Dean, would be to catch up. Usually that doesn't happen. You know, in the fall of 2019, you know, they did catch up in pretty much 1 week. But, you know, it's really just a couple snowstorms away. Problem is, it doesn't look, nor rainstorms, it doesn't look very promising at the moment. Some parts of western North Dakota picked up a half an inch in the last couple of days, which was desperately needed. But it looks dry for the rest of the month in that part of the area. So I completely understand the concerns out there. But then my next reminder always is, North Dakota lives and dies agriculturally in the months of May and June. That's when we get almost all of that's our rainy season. And so I always say, you know, don't give up until we get into May or June because a couple of thunderstorms can change things in a big hurry.
And that was my next question. When is it too late to, you know, if we get the precip, when's it just too late for the farmers and ranchers? So anytime after June?
Pretty much. I mean, we really need it by Memorial Day because you need to get planting, you get things to get started, then you need your June moisture to get everything going. A lot of wheat in North Dakota has been planted already. And I think because of, even though it wasn't much, many areas at least got a tenth or two or three in the driest parts of the state that should at least get to, say, the spring wheat to germinate. But it will come down really in many ways to May when we start really what I describe as our rainy season in North Dakota to see how we go. It is a rare year here in North Dakota that if you're not getting rain by the first couple of weeks in June, that you bode well for the entire season because pretty much every year, once we get into late June through July and August, your average evaporation, of course, far exceeds precipitation
right.
in the western part of the state.
Right. And I'm going to throw this now to Gary. So Gary, let's play with the LRC here. And what does that bode for the Dakotas for this spring and going into the summer months?
Well, it's definitely a very big concern. We have a computer model that's based on the LRC that is a really robust, fast computer model. That's a statistical-based model, Daryl, so it's not based on the physics models of the GFS and European and and the other meso models out there. And going out beyond 3 days, those models we look at are full of errors. Our statistical-based model is based on basically what has happened from this pattern when it began in October, November, and it projects all the way forward. And it takes into some the consideration seasonal differences. The outlook for May 1st to July 31st, the critical months for you guys, is not looking promising. We do have on our map that I sent Dean, maybe he'll pop it on there, but the rainfall forecast is for about four. I clicked on right near Fargo, and it goes down to the county. So right on the county just northwest side of Fargo, 4.1 inches liquid.
That's not good.
For the 3 months, May, June, and July. What is your average during that time,
Darryl? I looked that up earlier. For May, June, and July for Fargo, our average is 9.5 inches.
Yeah, I was going to say off the top of my head, so that would pretty be
40%.
Close to
10.
Yeah. So we're
40% of average or so, 45% of average.
And taking a look at that map, yeah, it looks worse the further west you go, according to the LRC.
Right. Yeah, it still has on that low end on our key 3.6 inches. So there's going to be 30% to 40% of rainfall, which is a concern. Just the chance that this turns around and could you get that one storm system in the next month or so, as these storms are still strong before summer gets here in the next couple months? Sure, but the odds are low, and droughts are either expanding or shrinking. And this one in North Dakota seems to be stable. I don't know if it's expanding. I think you would probably agree it's about what it's been for the last few months. But it is a concern. It's a 4.1 inches liquid there in Fargo for the three-month period is our forecast. And pretty much I think that could be relied upon. The chance of that being right is pretty good.
Right. Now, we just had a listener chimed in here. He said, I know ag is huge up there. He used to listen to Orrin Samuelson. Remember that name from back in the day on WGN? Remember? I don't know if you guys ever saw. Yeah, that goes way back. He said he used to watch it with his dad each weekend. He wants to know, what is the outlook for moisture this summer and fall? Well, we already talked about the summer there, statewide, and possibly, what about severe weather? What about, so according to the LRC, I mean, it's been a pretty active early season far south. Gary, how do you foresee that translating as we get closer to spring and summer, that translating northward?
Well, it was fascinating. I mean, obviously, severe weather season definitely will spread farther north and west as the next few weeks go by, as the jet stream weakens and summer approaches. North Dakota's severe weather season will kick in. For the same exact reason why you guys are going to be fairly dry, the chance of it being active severe weather-wise is low. So you might have a day or two where there are some risks up there as we get to late May and June, but the chance of that is low because the storm systems just aren't targeting your area. Here's how the LRC works. The southeast part of the country has been the target. These storm systems intensify as they go to the east. There may be a La Nina connection there. And Jefferson County, Alabama, this is the fifth cycle of this year's pattern. We are in the fifth cycle. This year's cycling pattern is about 45, 46, 47 days, centered on 46 days. And the pattern begins around October 5th, 6th, 7th, first week of October. We are now at the beginning of the fifth cycle of pattern. In the four previous cycles, Jefferson County, Alabama, right near Birmingham, has had a tornado on cycle, literally every 46 days. In the first cycle was just southwest of them. The second cycle was in Jefferson County, Alabama. The third cycle was in Jefferson County, Alabama. And this last cycle on March 17th was a significant tornado in Jefferson County, Alabama, and an outbreak in Alabama. That part of the pattern will be returning. That's the signature part of the pattern that is due in sometime March 17th, April 17th is 31 days, 27th is 4. So around the first week of May, and also in mid-June. When that pattern returns in mid-June, it will be retreating north and west. So mid-June is probably going to be your best chance of a severe weather setup for North Dakota. But overall, as I said, only 4.1 inches liquid in a fairly low and severe weather season the way it's looking.
All right. Awesome. All right. Well, I mean, it's...
Well, Dean, if I could chime in.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's, you know, it's, you know, it's a little bit of a repeat, and it's, you know, this is a little bit of an exaggeration, but, you know, the reality is pretty much all of our moisture in the summertime comes from severe weather. And I always, in my dozens and dozens of agricultural talks, I always mention, I go, I understand why you hate severe weather. Clearly, you know, there's no denying that. But the reality is none of us would farm here if it wasn't for severe weather.
Right.
Because that's where, you know, this 4,000 acres got just decimated with hail. But what we always forget is then there was 110,000 acres that got the rain that they actually needed on that, and there's a negative. So yeah, it's just when I always get asked that question every spring too about severe weather season, and I go, well, if I'm forecasting dry, I can pretty much, if that comes true, then this part of we're going to have far less average amount of severe weather this year, just because one equals the other, just, you know, as he was talking about.
They go hand in hand.
Yeah, they go hand in hand going forward.
One question is, like, when you have these severe thunderstorms that produce severe weather, is the severe weather likely in small areas, but the benefit from that thunderstorm is over a much broader area? Is that what happens?
Oh, very much so. I mean, and I'm sure, you know, I mean, it's even the case, you know, down in Kansas and Missouri that, you know, you always get the 5% of bad, but there's the 95% of the rain. And up here, you know, we're a semi-arid, dry climate. Most of the time, not always, but most of the time, the rain is always a welcomed event, especially in the western half of North Dakota. So, yeah, you get the 5% bad. And that makes the news, that makes the coverage, that's the farmer you go, and, you know, he lost 700 acres of wheat or corn or whatever it may be. But what's not mentioned is, well, then there's literally tens of thousands of acres that got rain that was desperately needed at the same time. And it's just the reality of the plains. So much of our precipitation, northern plains, southern plains, comes from severe weather. So there's, you know, there's the good that comes in with that bad. And that's definitely the case.
Yeah, just
in North
like
Dakota.
Here in Kansas City. Here in Kansas City, we had this dark, rainy day the other day. It was raining like crazy. And, you know, I work with the anchor man and anchor woman on the air, and they're all saying the G word, gloomy. It's so gloomy. I said, no,
it's good.
It's great out there.
G is for great.
It's raining.
Oh, man. Hey, if you're just joining us, again, we are joined by Gary Lezak and Daryl Richeson, and we are doing a spring and summer weather outlook special. We're inviting our listeners and viewers, if you have any questions for us, hey, what a great time. You've got three meteorologists here. Throw out some questions, whether it be about wherever you're at, your general area, and we'll kind of we'll hit on those questions as well. So we're looking at a drier than normal spring and summer. Gary, what about, according to the LRC, what about temperature-wise? Last summer, if I'm not mistaken, now I wasn't up here last summer, Daryl, but if I'm not mistaken, I know last July was kind of cool.
No, actually.
Was July hot?
Well, here's the thing. Last summer, to me, was the absolute perfect summer in North Dakota. It was above average, which is always a good thing in North Dakota if we get the moisture because, you know, we're a cool climate. You know, again, we're competing with Iowa farmers. So we get every growing degree day that we can get. So we actually, last summer, traditional summer climatologically, June 1st to August 31st, was quite warm in the state, in the sense of it's about plus 1.5, plus 2 in most areas without ever being hot. So we only average 14, depends which, if you want to use short-term or long-term averages. But in Fargo, for instance, we average either 13 or 14 90-degree days a year, which isn't very many. And that's what we had last year. But we finished the summer above average. Usually above average summers come with, say, 18, 20 90-degree days, and that builds the heat. So last summer we had a very consistently warm, seemed like every day last summer was 1 or 2 degrees above average. And so it was just perfect in that sense. So really from about May 15th until that very early hard freeze we had on September 8th last year, you know, we just had 100 just perfect temperature days in many ways because it was just consistently a little bit above average. So it may have felt cool, Dean, when you look at the stats, because we did not have a lot of 90s per se, but just per average, it was actually a really good summer. And then if you look, if you just want to play statistics, this is no forecast, no LRCs, not playing with anything. But if you look at 140 years of records in Fargo, we've rarely had two summers back-to-back that above average for temperatures. So Iowa State, you know, hey, you know, I do a lot of a long range 6 to 9, 12 month forecast. Sometimes you just play with statistics. I go, I wouldn't be surprised if the summer of 2021 is warmer than average, but I don't know the core of summer, you know, June 1st to August 31st would quite reach last year. I doubt it would get above it. We might achieve that. And then everyone goes, well, dry equals warm. I understand that, but last summer was bone dry in Western North Dakota.
Right.
And they were the coolest part per average of anyone in the state. So it doesn't always work out that easily. But that's, you know, last summer, actually, in many ways, I wish we could repeat that this summer, just consistently above average without being extremely hot for the crops.
Right. Now, Gary, okay, let's throw this to you. According to the LRC, what is the LRC kind of, what does it look like temperature-wise?
Yeah, call up that one map that says U.S. high temperature comparison. It's actually North Dakota, South Dakota, and Minnesota, the three states that
I called up there. Yep.
I could go to my model, our LRC model, and just click on North Dakota. I probably should have done that. But this is a combined North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota, so the region, all the counties combined together in this chart you see. And if you look at it, it shows last year warmer than average. Mostly, look at that. As Darrell was showing you, from June 1st all the way through that green line is last year. And so there are a lot of peaks there near 90 degrees for all the three states combined. So you can just see that it was above average. And then the blue line is the 30-year average. And then the forecast for this year based on the LRC, you can see it's similar to last year. There's a cool spell forecast from about the 20th of June there to the beginning of July. So a little bit cooler during that two-week stretch. But beyond that cooler spell, as soon as you get to July, like last year, it does look like it'll be as warm or warmer than a year ago, but not too warm. So you might get your dream situation where it's not ridiculously warm, no major heat waves, and you have a warm spell for that period. And that can be relied upon. It'll be interesting to watch this. Now, this is, again, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Minnesota combined. I can send you guys some charts. You can go to weather2020.com and inquire about that. But we can go down to county, to your farm level, down to the state average. But it's just fascinating when you look at this. But Darrell, when looking at that, you can, I don't know if you can see it, but doesn't it look like it's going to be a similar summer?
Well, Dean's being very selfish right now, Gary, and he's not showing me the monitors. He's that way, you know. Just.
I know.
Just saying.
You have to envision it.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the chart. It's fascinating. It's about the same as last year, but it's offset. It definitely has. Last year there was a cool spell in the middle of June. This year it's the end of June to the beginning of July, and then July is all above average.
Well, you know, historically, if you'd never forecast much beyond a couple, 3 degrees above average for any season in North Dakota, you're generally in the range. Once you start going beyond that, you might get lucky once in a while. But even the warmest summer on record in Fargo is only about 4 or 5 degrees above the current 30-year average going forward. So it's, this probably doesn't surprise you, Gary. I do my long-range forecasting, and I've been doing it for a long, long time. It's always based on analog sets. And so my analog sets, which I did give to you, Dean, to post it, you know, had us, and it's a blend of 4 years, actually, that have been, so far, it's been working phenomenally well for this year to this point. Has us, you know, very similar, if not a smidge cooler than last year, but, you know, you're always playing with statistic there a little bit. I just would be surprised if we were too much warmer than last year, just based on the fact, you know, historically we haven't done that too often. But sounds like both of us are, your methodology and my methodology are thinking very similarly temperature-wise, which I don't know if is
and
a good thing for us or a bad thing.
Yeah, Darrell, using those analog years is a really good system. You're going to go back and look at maybe, as you said, four previous years, combine them together, blend them together, and you give a good idea of what could happen, because you have 4 years that might be similar based on the conditions you chose to pick as analog. But the best analog year is this year. This pattern we are in now is the best one to weigh heavier. I think it's good to use those analog years in some respects, but just know that this year is unique. So the pattern that's set up in October, November continues now, and it does fit your analog assessment. The one beauty of the LRC, it's the analog years will tell you what's going to happen over 30 days, 60 days, and 90 days. What the LRC does, it tells you when things will happen. The LRC lets you know when there will be a storm, when there will be a heat wave, and so you can plan accordingly on the week that will be the hottest week. And whereas the analog gears can't quite do that. It just gives you a broad sense, which is good for a long-range forecast. But predicting severe weather outbreaks, when they will happen, hurricanes, tropical storms, winter storms, Arctic outbreaks, that's what the LRC does really, really well.
And Gary, I know you had touched earlier on the accuracy, how you forecasted that tornado outbreak down in the southern Alabama, wasn't it? Was it Jefferson County, you said?
Yeah.
Okay. What is the accuracy rate? Have you done any research? What's the accuracy rate of the LRC?
The LRC itself is close to 100% accurate. Now, does that mean that does not mean my forecasts are close to 100% accurate. Okay. In other words, the pattern we're in right now is spot on. A couple of maps I sent to you, I don't know if you have them, but November 25th and April the 10th, they're exactly on cycle, about a 46-day, 45-day cycle, right on schedule. This pattern that just cycled through April 10th, the LRC predicted that pattern almost flawlessly. Now, predicting the weather for Fargo, North Dakota, Minot, North Dakota, Bismarck, for Chicago, Illinois, for Atlanta, Georgia, for Los Angeles, California, for Seattle, based on that pattern, the accuracy might be in the 60% range on our meteorological expertise. So the pattern itself is cycling regularly on schedule. That's what's so fascinating about it. The predictions will get better and better and better as we learn more and more about these other influences on the pattern, and maybe blending in those analog years as Daryl has done successfully. So, but the accuracy itself is probably for each location 60%, 70%. I want it to be 100%. I know what the pattern is going to look like, and that will be accurate. But then predicting for each location is still difficult.
Right, right. And again, if you're just joining us, we invite you to send in your questions, if you have any, for either me, Daryl, or Gary. You can either chime in via our live feed on Facebook or shoot us an email at weather@flagfamily.com. And again, if you're just joining us, we are doing our spring and summer weather outlook special with myself, Daryl Richeson, and Gary Lisak, meteorologist down in Kansas City. And we've been talking about the LRC, which is a cycling weather pattern that Gary kind of invented, if you will. Gary's written many papers. And Gary, if people are interested on reading up on this, how can they find information on the LRC?
A couple of different ways. One, again, go to weather2020.com, and we just launched a brand new website. And if you have questions, you can inquire there. If you have agricultural interests, we have a model that is available. So that's something we could possibly share with you. That's one way, weather2020.com. My technology guy just put a really, really cool blog talking about how we're at the forefront of the best technology. And then I talked about the LRC and the weather blog. That's one way. And then if you want to just Google cycling patterns of the Northern Hemisphere, I wrote that paper that was peer-reviewed and published, Cycling Patterns of the Northern Hemisphere. Just Google that. You'll be able to read a little bit about what I wrote a few years ago and got published. But those are two ways, Dean.
Gotcha. Okay. So let's kind of like go over this whole thing again. So if anybody's just joining us and they're, and you know, we've got a lot of farmers and ranchers up here, and it's been dry. It's not record-setting dry, but it's been pretty dry. Just in a nutshell, according to the LRC, and then I'm going to throw this over to Daryl. According to the LRC, if anybody's just joining us and they want to know what the spring and summer looks like, what does it look like temperature-wise? What does it look like precip-wise?
Temperature-wise, slightly above average temperatures. The way it's looking right now, we're not seeing any major heat wave where it's going to settle in for the whole summer, and that's it. That's not going to happen. The pattern's going to cycle through enough cold fronts that'll move through, and below average rainfall, and possibly significantly below average. You're not going to be dry. You're going to get 4 inches, 3 to 5 inches of rain in most spots, and this is a 90-day stretch from May, June, and July. And then remember, the pattern continues in August and September. So as the new pattern begins to evolve at the end of September, maybe things start to change, but this is just a dry weather pattern that will be very difficult to break. There may be a rogue storm or two, and as Daryl will tell you, maybe that severe thunderstorm that could land right on your farm and give you a whole bunch of rain, but the chances are lower than normal.
Gotcha. Now, Daryl, what does this mean for our agricultural community? Let's assume that that we are going to be near or slightly above average temperature-wise, but drier than normal. I mean, how does that affect the, our farmers and ranchers up here?
Well, it goes back to what I said before. You know, the above average temperature here is always a good thing if you have the moisture to go with it. If you don't have the moisture to go with it, then it's just an increased drying sense. You know, the Red River Valley, of course, is very unique. We have the shrink swell clay. Most of the Red River Valley soil moisture-wise is doing very well at the time. The Red River Valley, even in years in the 1930s and the dirty 30s, survived because of the great moisture holding capacity of the Fargo clay and then other types of clay as you go up and down the valley. But, you know, that's a relatively small percentage of the area we're seeing. I mean, the southern Red River Valley right now in west central Minnesota, you know, if you think you're in a drought, you don't understand what the word means to me, because we've gotten a lot of rain, you know, last week, a little bit this week, some parts east of Fargo got 3-4 inches, you know, last week. So there's an adequate supply at the moment. So really the concern for mostly, of course, just you don't have to go very far west. You go west of the Red River Valley, which is a vast majority of the state of North Dakota. That's where above average precipitation mostly comes in handy. You don't want excess, but above. And so if we're going to get, and we've had a lot of examples of this, even during this wetter phase of our cycle in the last 25 years, where we've had these summers where we've had anywhere from, say, 40 to 70% of normal, you know, you're just going to get a significant reduction in crop yields this summer. And it's just going to be a very tough time. You know, hopefully we can, I've had lots of conversations recently just wondering, you know, if their wheat's going to sprout. Back in 2017, in some ways quite similar to this year, although it was not one of my analog years, you know, out in far western North Dakota and parts of eastern Montana, their spring wheat actually did not germinate and sprout until August. Because we finally got thunderstorms. Of course, that crop was completely ruined long before it finally went over. So that, you know, really starting off is a concern for some parts of the area. But if we can get at least it going, you know, what are yields? I mean, if you know, you're going to get 18-inch high wheat and get 10, 15 bushels an acre out of it with that type of precipitation event, you know, obviously a very tough year. And the thing is, eastern North Dakota, some areas think they're dry, but we had some pretty good thunderstorms last summer. Into early fall, and then the fountain shut off. You know, western North Dakota, you get Williston area, for example. You know, really since the fall of 2019, they've had so little moisture going on now, approaching 18 months of this dryness. Wow. So it just, it adds up. And we, nice thing about NDON is we have a lot of soil moisture probes, more so in western North Dakota, actually, than eastern North Dakota. But you could just watch the layers just dry and off. So now it's so dry in the top layers that there's really no moisture that most crops can get to, especially, you know, what they're growing in western North Dakota. I can't even begin to tell you how many conversations I had last summer, even into the winter, about, well, Daryl, I had a pretty good crop in 2020 because I lived off the big rains we had in the fall of 2019. you know, that's gone. And yeah. I go, understandable. I said, sadly, you still have pretty high water table based on what happened in 2019, but no one's going down to 40, 45
right. inches,
you know, to get that. So it's an outside of farm wells and stuff. That's not very relevant. So yeah, 50% average and these parts would be pretty tough. And so I think it's, I hope I'm wrong. Might just be a summer where you keep your fingers crossed and hope, you know, as Gary already alluded to, but it's really true here is getting underneath the correct thunderstorms. I have always a great example back in 2006, which was a very dry summer in North Dakota. Back at the end of July, a thunderstorm complex with some severe weather rumbled just south of Fargo. And it was about this 20, 25, 30-mile stretch of rain where it dumped 2 to 4 inches of rain. And it was so funny on satellite imagery. You could just pinpoint that through the entire month of August because that's where everything was green. Back by 2006 standards, this was impressive, and it's still pretty impressive in North Dakota. You know, they're getting 250 bushel an acre corn, and everyone else is getting like 130, 40, if I remember right, from that summer, just because of that one thunderstorm complex and what a huge difference that makes. North Dakota in particular is it's just a true statement of our climate, how sometimes one thunderstorm makes or breaks you in a summer, you know, for crops and
right.
such. So I, you know, again, always tag it. I hope I'm wrong, but 2021 might again be one of those years where, you know, the lucky few, maybe 10, 20% get enough and will do much better than others. But as I keep saying, Gary's alluded to it as well. So have you, Dean. There's just, you know, a lot of reasons to believe 2021 might be a tough year for moisture.
Yeah. And like Gary said, you know, we're expecting half of our normal precip here in Fargo, and pretty much the same out to our west, unfortunately. Not great news. Well, guys, let's wrap this up. Gary, anything else you want to add or anything about
I think it's fascinating. It's interesting listening to Daryl with his expertise there, because it's just fascinating, because there are analog years to look at. This year, as I said, the best analog year. Daryl, I'd like to have a conversation with you about that sometime, but it's just fascinating, and I hope that something is different and you get more than 40 to 50% of average precipitation, but the chance is very low of that. But I appreciate this discussion. As I said, I always learn from just discussing it with all of you as well. So let us know if you have any questions.
Right. And yeah, and Gary, thank you again for coming on with us. At least it does look like we have a couple storm systems possible between now and the end of the month. So let's hope that comes through. We really need it. And Daryl, thank you for joining.
I just looked at the latest GFS model for the total for the next 15 days. Now, granted, remember I told you after 3 days these are riddled with
errors.
Yeah.
I know, right?
Daryl would agree. It could change in about 6 hours. It'll change, but it still has the bullseye of lowest amount of precipitation right over central North Dakota. Hopefully that's wrong.
Right.
I doubt it.
It's been the pattern.
Well, even though we just updated to a new version of the GFS, I still call it the gotta forecast something model. So that's terrible.
It's still riddled with errors.
Right. We used to call it good for, and you can fill in the last word that we can't use on air.
Exactly. Hey, but Gary, before you go, I have to say, you know, I know the name. You know, I've heard of you. I doubt you've ever heard of me. But it's nice, like it's been the case with me so much and a lot of other folks in the last year. And yet another person I only get to meet virtually, but it was nice meeting you virtually and having a conversation with you today.
Yeah, thank you. Great to meet you virtually. I feel like you're one of my best friends already.
That's kind of you to say. By the way, I hope you're using the Kansas Mesonet data.
Yes.
Okay. Chip Redman's nice guy. So
I probably need to utilize that more. So let's get in touch so I make sure I do use that more.
But it's not quite as many stations as North Dakota, but I have a good resource, and especially in the Kansas side of it, because Missouri has a Mesonet as well. But the Kansas one's been expanding, so there's a lot of like little weather sites and
good
rainfall data for you to use if you utilize their website. And if Chip Redman would happen to be online right now, I would say he owes me like $20 for that comment. maybe I'll put it on Twitter when I get done and say, "Hey, Chip, I you owe me."
There you go.
And if anybody has any questions, I know we're going to wrap this up right now, but if anybody has any questions, please feel free to email. You can shoot me an email, weather@flagfamily.com. And if you have a specific question for Gary or for Daryl, we'll forward that to him. And like I said, you've got three meteorologists that, gosh, how many years experience do we have combined? Gary, you've got over 30.
100.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's got to be. Yeah, it's well
yeah,
over 100
say,
years.
I'm over 30. Gary's over 30.
Yep. So,
and Dean's youngster on the group, and he's only, what are you, at 28?
25, 28. Yeah, 28. Right. Yeah. So, but hey, guys, this has been great. This gives our farmers and ranchers and agriculture up here kind of an idea of what to expect this spring and summer, which isn't great news. You know, I always try to look at the glasses half full. At least we're not talking about anything like the 30s, which is good. But, you know, we could really use the moisture. And let's hope and pray that we get that one or two rogue storms bringing the severe weather and the widespread rain to at least help out a little bit as we head into spring and summer. So, guys, thanks again. I appreciate it. Thank you, everybody.
You're welcome.
Thank you, everybody, for watching and listening and your questions. And everybody have a safe week. And it's almost the weekend. It's almost here. You guys enjoy your weekend. And enjoy what promises to be a nice, warm summer.